Oh, baby, it's the Great Debates.
Yeah!
Finally.
This is real. June. This is the real guys.
I'm not
really
in, I'm here in the studios. We're all in the studios.
Yes.
I was telling Davis earlier that the Great Debate Studios is one of my favorite places in all of the places that I ever visit regularly.
And I love that.
Beautiful here during Long June. And it's made me think of a top.
Okay,
right,
let's go.
You guys.
Let's go.
Okay, are you ready?
Yes. Micro.
Micro, 4 minutes on the clock, by the way, in case you were wondering, the original micro debates from way back in 2015
feel like they used to be...
were 4 minutes.
Oh, I didn't know that.
Didn't know that. Historian.
Great
I don't remember
historian.
That at all. All right, let's go.
Okay, Healy taking the pro-Trump voters are more likely to attend their high school reunion.
Steve Healy taking the pro. Look, let's talk about the Trump voters.
We have to, yeah.
White women, people who are white men. These are who goes to high school reunions. That's like who it is. People who are tied to their home community. People who are not living in the coastal elite bubbly scene like we are. We don't go to our high school reunions because we're out here in LA or New York or wherever. But the Trump voter, they're going. They love that. They're stuck in their high school mindset and they go to their high school reunion. That's my take.
I just feel like it's such a narrow-minded look at the world. Here's a couple. Like, the idea that you just said that white people are more likely to go to their high school reunions. You just said that.
Yeah, I believe
air.
That.
Do you have any evidence to back that up?
No.
There can't be any possible way that there
is.
About. And why do you feel this way? Are white people somehow more community-minded or civic-minded or education-minded? I don't think so. I think that's actually like a really disparaging or dangerous idea to put out there.
You're twisting my views in a big way, and I have to stop you. I'm just suggesting that white people love high school reunions. It's a white people thing.
I don't think white people invented it at all. Like, why is it not a black person thing? I would imagine
it's
that would
not.
Be like, I'd rather go to a black person high school reunion.
I would too.
Okay.
I'm not saying white people, most white people culture is kind of boring and lame.
Okay. Here's a huge fact that you're overlooking.
Yes.
A disproportionate amount of Trump voters didn't graduate high school. They don't have a reunion to go to because they didn't graduate. They're not part of a class. They're not going to their 5th anniversary or their 25th anniversary because they never even made it through. And that is an actual fact that we can look up. And Trump even said he loves his uneducated voters, right? Why did he say that? Because people who didn't graduate high school voted for him in far more numbers than voted for other people.
He said that during the Republican primary, not during his square off against...
Which do you think is more likely? Which do you think? We don't have access to the facts right now because that's not the way we debate. Which do you think is more likely? White people are more likely to go to their high school reunion, or Trump voters were more likely to not have gotten a high school degree?
It's just a fact that white people are into.
By the way, this idea also, I got to fight back on something else. The idea that like coastal elites somehow are less likely to go to their high school reunion, I totally disagree with this. One of the hallmarks of coastal elitism, if you want to call it that, is putting a priority on education. I think a lot of people's like best friends are from high school. I think a lot of people like enjoy going back to the high school they graduate from or seeing the people who they went to high school with. I went to an excellent public high school in Boston.
Congrats,
you went to an excellent high school.
Congratulations.
I'm a coastal elite, I guess, by definition of
like
most people.
You went to high school in Needham. I went to high school in Boston, just FYI.
What's the difference?
Here's
you
the
went,
thing
right. I'm sorry.
About Trump voters.
Yeah.
Nostalgia. That's what it's all about. Make America great again. Thinking back on some idealized great time.
Yeah, but the problem
that's
with that,
who voted for Trump. People who love the good old days of fantasy, and that's who goes to their high school reunion.
You're
they
retrofitting
see Chrissy Keegan again, and you know, see if she's still as hot as she was back then. It's a crazy.
You're
delusion.
Trying to retrofit the slogan to match an attitude of the
incorrect.
Voting populace.
I'm extrapolating from the slogan and the attitude. What did Trump get elected on? Making America great again, the fantasy of returning
to that is not an idea, but that was an
idea. Golden age.
That wasn't an idea that people actually wanted to like. Make America great again was a simple slogan. People did not hear that and go like, yes, that's my guy because I like to hang out with my old high school buds. I wish things were the way they were in 1985. What they heard was, we're going to make America white again. That's what that meant. That's what it was code for. It had nothing to do with like gathering with your old buds and actually going back in time.
Medina, what did you think of the debate?
Well, I'll tell you what I thought. Thanks. Halfway through the debate, I thought the educational demographic argument is up for grabs here.
Yes.
Right.
The ball is in the air.
It could have gone either way.
Yeah.
We could say, you know, it was mostly high school graduates that voted for Trump, and then college graduates, that, and maybe the people that are the college graduates associate more with their college and blah, blah, blah. Could have gone either way. Dave grabbed the ball and ran with it. He was making his way downfield.
Oh, no.
When Healy hit him really hard with the nostalgia argument, there was a fumble, and the last 2 minutes of clock time, I feel like, was dominated by this argument, and I think he won the debate.
I got to admit, there was, in my recollection, there was a fumble. I got distracted by Donut on the sidelines.
Listen, Donut.
And I couldn't recover. I own that.
Focus is part of debate.
No, I agree.
Some people say that the home court advantage is important, but you never
sometimes
know.
Sometimes it could be a distraction.
Happen.
This was a listener top from listener Joe C.
Great.
We'll be sending him a t-shirt. Joe C. down in San Diego.
What a
Thank you for this excellent top.
It's all, once again, if you send in a top, it's on you to send me an email. You get a t-shirt because I am...
Right.
Very bad at remembering and keeping track.
You've got a lot to do. You're producing
a
podcast.
I'm a co-executive producer of a friggin' premium cable television show, guys. I'm busy.
What level of like irony or distance was that statement said?
Zero. I'm owning it.
Made me sad. Made me very sad.
Why? Why not? Why not
I think
fun?
that this suggests that we're in host chat.
Oh, yeah. Big time.
Big time.
Guys, it is Long June.
We are waist deep in Long
June
right now.
So into Long June. How's everyone's Long June? I'd like to hear like a sensory share from everybody.
Oh, you... okay, wait. I'm sorry. I have a point of clarity here.
Yeah.
You asked us to like come prepare with some Long June sense shares, you called them.
Yeah.
Now, were you talking about... from this Long June or from Long June's past?
Oh, I meant this Long June.
Okay, because I misinterpreted
but
that.
But I'm open to any Long June of history.
Davis, well, do you have a sense share for us?
I do have a sense share.
Love it.
But it's not, it's a very nostalgic one.
Great,
speaking of
cool.
Nostalgia, when I think of Long June, I go back to a young 12-year-old Dave, and my sense share is the smell of the New Hampshire pines.
Oh.
And I'm at summer camp. I'm at Camp Alton. And I always went for the first half of summer, which is Long June.
Yeah.
And it is a smell unlike anything else. The air is crisp. Mm. The boys are having a good time. It was an all-boys camp, a little weird.
Mm.
But damn, if I didn't have the best times of my life up there.
Wow.
That's my Long June sense share.
Beautiful.
I'm sorry it's not a current one.
You took me there.
Yeah. How about you? Or Medina?
Let's get Medina in here.
So I kicked off my Long June, as many of you know, in the Windy City, Chicago.
Yes.
I was there with our very own composer, Chris Knight.
Yes.
And we were observing what I hope will be a tradition, which is that, you know, he's a Cubs fan. I'm a San Francisco Giants fan. A couple years ago, we saw a baseball game at AT&T Park in San Francisco. We decided to make the trek and see a game at Wrigley. First time I've ever been to Wrigley Field.
Yes.
I will tell you, it's Long June sense overload.
Oh, baby. Wow.
At Wrigley Field.
The
first
smells,
of all,
the sights.
As you're walking through the concourse, the smells, the various genre of sausage that are available.
Yes.
Like, you can get sausage so many different ways.
I'll say, had
a sausage that had... not only grilled onions on it, but also mac and cheese.
Yes.
Wow.
As a topping. I also, in the next game I went to, had a sausage that was placed into the bun on a bed of, like, steakums, like the kind of beef that you would get.
What?
I just figured, like, I'm in the city.
Yeah, you got to do it.
And then just the auditory sense.
Yeah.
Overload out in the stands, the vendors that are selling beer, you can hear them shouting from all corners of the ballpark, hey, Bud Light, Goose Island, and it's just part of the din of the game all the way up until the end of the seventh inning.
Hell, yes.
It was a delightful way to slide into Long June.
I got to encourage our listeners to, as we discuss Long June, please close your eyes and use this as a meditative experience. Whether or not you're driving, I encourage you to just think, relax, reflect, shut those eyes.
When you're driving is maybe like the most important time to shut your eyes and just take a minute to put yourself in Wrigley.
Yes, you have to. Healy, Long June. Medina, okay. That was amazing. Man.
I kicked off Long June. As per tradition, I'd go up to Canada. Right. In Memorial Day, I was on an island off the coast of British Columbia with some listeners, and we
is that what you call them when you're hanging out with them?
Listeners?
Yeah.
Well, they were friends first. Uh-huh. So they aren't mainly. I don't mainly know them through.
So it's not
listening
like, oh, listener,
podcast.
Can you? If we're making coffee, could you?
So I'm with my buddies, and we got some driftwood on the beach and made a structure and put a tarp over it.
You made a structure.
So yeah. Vague.
Like a sort of tent type thing. And then we heated up some rocks in the fire and we brought them into the tarp and poured water on it and made kind of a homemade steam room on the beach.
Wow, a sweat lodge.
A sweat lodge. And then we, to bring it back to Dave's memory, we put a little pine in there.
Oh.
Steamy air filling in, and then if you want, you can run out and do a cold plunge right in the Pacific Ocean.
Wow, did you do that?
No, too cold.
Yeah,
too cold.
That's crazy. Damn, that's good shit.
Yeah, that was nice, purifying Long June vibes.
Mm. I feel like not only did we really invent the idea of Long June here, but we really have the practice of Long June mastered.
Mm. I think I just realized what the Long June business is.
Oh, what is it?
It's a candle company. And it's Long June candles, and it comes in different scents. And one of the scents is like, you know, New Hampshire pine, and
yeah,
another one is
great.
Just ballpark.
Now, do you think most of the users of these candles will be using them in Long June or in like December when you need to take yourself back to Long June?
I think
light
we have
your Wrigley
two
Steakums flavored
right.
candle.
No, it's a great question. We have two peak sales seasons. Uh-huh. One is your long, like your Father's Day, your graduation gifts, your basic and prepping for Long June. So
yeah,
like mid to late May. Yeah, grads
yeah.
and dads. And the other is, as you guessed, the holiday season, when people want to remember the Long June aesthetic and the way of life that is Long June, and they can just light a candle and take themselves back.
Now, listen, this isn't a podcast where we talk about candles, for the most part.
It's
a podcast where we have debates.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. That's a good point.
I've got a top, but I think before we do, I want to make a call out there to DIYer kind of crafts listeners. If
yes.
you're a candle maker out there, make a Long June candle with
wow.
your favorite
yeah.
Long June scents. This is an idea that was floated by producer Mark. Make us
yeah.
some Long June candles. Send them our way. Burn them in your own beachside sweat lodge, whatever you're going to do.
Boxes of odd wax that are going to arrive at our places.
Boxes. Tell us about it.
We're going to get one shitty candle.
Okay, I've got a top.
Bad news. This isn't a candle.
This is submitted by listener Jared S.
Oh, cool.
Okay.
Jared S.
Healy taking the pro.
Great. Not Jared Hess.
No.
Jared S. Thank you, yeah. listener Jared S. Topic is Tilda Swinton is an A-list actress.
Michael Clayton, Snowpiercer. She's big. She commands the screen. She is A-list. She was in one of the Harry Potter movies, maybe. I don't know. She's an A-list actress.
That's it?
Look, here's basically, I think I'm going to win this debate by just having you once again close your eyes and picture Tilda Swinton. Does she command? Is she holding the screen completely? Has she won an Oscar? Yes. Is she a person you can put in a big movie and have her like draw in the crowds? Yeah, that's A-list, baby. She's on the A-list. Can she get into any party anywhere in the world? Of course. Who doesn't want Tilda Swinton walking in the door? A-list. She's actually like maybe more than A-list. She's on the like ethereal, like heavenly plane. She's cool. and A-list.
None of the things that you've mentioned about her are things that define a person as being on the A-list of actresses. Jennifer Hudson won an Oscar. She's not an A-list actress. Margot Martindale commands the screen as much as anyone. She's a big presence. She's not an A-list actress.
Screen. She commands the television screen.
Well, I actually think that the way, just to talk about this point a little bit further, this idea that she's big and she commands the screen.
Yeah.
That I actually think that, first of all, I disagree with you. I think Tilda Swinton gives like a much more nuanced performance than that, and often is like her reservedness, if that's the word, or her like levels, or her, like in Michael Clayton, her anxiety.
Levels.
Okay. Well, yes. But as you have earlier stipulated, have for some noted. Reason that she's big and she commands your, she has this enormous screen presence. I actually think that those are the characteristics not of an A-list actress, but more often a character actress or a supporting actress, because that kind of role, that kind of person is not something that you want to star in a vehicle. That's the ultimate point here. An A-list actress is someone who can open a movie. It's someone who is the name at the top of the poster. It's Reese Witherspoon. It's Julia Roberts, it's Jennifer Lawrence. Those are A-list actresses. Unfortunately, for better or worse, you might say, it doesn't matter how talented they are. It doesn't matter whether they command the screen. It matters whether they're the goddamn star of the movie. And Tilda Swinton is not the star of the movies that she's in. End of opening statement. You're looking something up. You're already grasping at straws. You didn't even know if she was in a Harry Potter movie. I don't know either. That, if nothing else, is a sign that she's not an A-list actress. Imagine us sitting here going like, was Julia Roberts in a Harry Potter movie? I don't remember. Was Amy Schumer in one of the Star Wars movies? I don't know. I can't really remember, but I think she was. That's the sign of an A-list actress. You don't forget the movies they're in, buddy!
What is the A-list? I'll answer that because I'm a Hollywood insider. At Hollywood agencies...
The classic Healy move when he's losing. Go with the bit. Just embrace it. Try to get the laughs. Go ahead. I'll indulge you.
They have a list of the actors. A-list is like... absolute top, would love to get.
Yeah.
B-list, you know, when we get some no's from the A-list, we'll start calling them. C-list, we're in trouble. Who is on the A-list? Jennifer Lawrence, definitely. Kevin Hart, of course. And Tilda Swinton. She's definitely going on that list.
That is so crazy that you believe that. If you're we're talking about a couple different things here. You're
we are?
Yes, we are, because I actually think that Tilda Swinton is at the top of the list, but it's a list of the people who are the third or fourth or fifth like star in a movie. Jennifer Lawrence and Tilda Swinton's names aren't even on the same lists. Nobody goes, we can't get Jennifer Lawrence, let's go to Tilda Swinton. They go, we can't get Jennifer Lawrence, let's go to whatever, Natalie Portman or something. That's the way Hollywood works. Tilda Swinton is not at the top. She's not on the A-list. You're actually saying, what you're arguing about is like, the like who's at the top of the A-list. What I'm saying is she's not even... She's on a whole... I kind of agree with you, actually, that Tilda Swinton isn't on the A-list because she is on a different plane. She does have an oddness about her, and she is capable of playing such a range of characters that she's more in, like, the sort of John Malkovich vein or, like, I don't know who, like, or, like, maybe, like, a Sandra Bernhardt, someone who you can't quite put in a box but ends up, playing very important roles in movies and doing a great job at it. No one's debating her talent. She's extraordinary. But an A-lister, I just don't see it. I actually think you're like, I can't, because you said you actually believe this.
I do.
I think that's ludicrous. I think you're so wrong about this. I think you know you're wrong.
Here's the thing.
You've learned that you're wrong is what I would actually argue over the past 5 minutes.
Here's the thing about Tilda Swinton. Ugh. She makes choices.
This is sad.
What's sad about
it? Old man on the ropes, just getting pummeled. It's Ali, like, coming back out of retirement for the fourth time, just trying to rope-a-dope, but it's not working. Go ahead. Talk about her choices.
She's just special, okay?
That's great.
She's a special person.
Yeah.
She educates her kids in some kind of weird
good for her,
Scottish
man.
Gaelic
all
school.
All the classic marks of an A-list actress.
Look,
she educates her children in an unusual way.
Hollywood has changed.
Crispin Glover's a friggin' weirdo. That doesn't make him an A-lister.
Well, he sucks. He's not going to be like the star of Michael Clayton.
Tilda Swinton isn't the star of Michael Clayton. It's called Michael Clayton. George Clooney plays Michael Clayton. Tilda Swinton isn't the star of that. You know that. George Clooney is an A-list actor. Tilda Swinton is not.
What is Michael Clayton without Tilda Swinton's character, oh whatever she's named?
That, no one's arguing that it's not a better movie because of Tilda Swinton. She's spectacular in it. The scene in the bathroom, she's sweating, whatever. It's great. She's great. I love. She's hilarious in... what you would call it, Trainwreck. Like, she's capable of an incredible variety. That's not the issue, man.
She's in Trainwreck?
Yeah, she ain't on the A-list. She's the boss at the magazine. She's not an A-list actress.
Cool.
And by the way, the fact that you didn't know that she was in Trainwreck, you saw Trainwreck and you didn't remember that she was in it, that doesn't happen with Reese Witherspoon. That doesn't happen with Julia Roberts. That doesn't happen with even like a Seth Rogen or a comic A-list actor or actress. Healy, you lost. I think you should just admit it.
But all I want you to do is close your eyes.
I'm not going to do that.
And picture Tilda Swinton.
Yeah.
And tell me you're filing her under B or C. You're not. She's going on list A. End of debate.
I yield my time to the chair. Deans, get in here, buddy.
Well, I mean, come on.
Do you still think she's an A-list actress?
I mean, the A-list is such a dumb... What? Who cares?
Here's what I will say.
Yeah.
Davis, we gave you a softball here.
Okay.
But I will say that it's nice to see you handle a softball and really hit it into the water. You
know? I gotta say, I was enjoying that as well.
Yeah. But this is... Healy, you said you... Am I wrong that before this you were like, oh, I mean, she is an A-list actress.
It was kind of like
watching... Wasn't that one of the tops where you were like, I definitely want to argue that?
Sometimes I have beliefs that, like, don't correlate with the facts. Right. And this is one of them. I don't, like, yeah, Tilda Swinton can't open a movie. She would never be the star of, like, you'd never be, like, Tilda Swinton on the billboard. I don't care. She's on my personal whatever.
Of the roles that Tilda Swinton can play, I don't think that there's anyone that could play them better than she.
Yeah, I mean, no one's arguing she's not phenomenal.
She's on that A-list.
Yeah. Yeah. She's a weirdo, man.
Mm-hmm.
Mm.
Is she a weirdo in real life?
Yeah. But that's become like her, somehow like the meme of Tilda Swinton, mm-hmm. is that she like talks to squirrels and like lives, you know, like on the dark side of the moon or something.
I think she totally cultivates that like in interviews and stuff. And also like her early roles, she emerged from a world of like art house kind of cinema. She's done a lot of pretty out there stuff, and she's done weird fashion stuff.
Suddenly like slamming Tilda Swinton is some sort of phony here.
No, not at all. I'm just...
I think she cultivates that in interviews. I don't think she's really unusual. What is that all about?
You can cultivate an image. That's a smart thing for a performer to do, and I think she does that.
Well, you don't think that cultivating an image that's not like true to yourself, you don't think that that's like the hallmark of phoniness?
I think she's also a weirdo. I mean, both things can be true, right? She can go to an interview and be like, I'm gonna say interesting stuff because I'm trying to make this interesting and have the art of my life be compelling.
Okay.
That's cool, right?
Healy, we can agree on that one.
All right, thank you.
Yeah.
For once.
Do you guys have big plans for the rest of Long June?
Yes. Healy. What's your plan?
I have all of Long June off.
Oh,
it's so crazy.
It's
blessed. Hashtag blessed. I'm going to Yosemite.
Great.
With mom and dad.
Great.
You're kidding me.
Yeah. It's a lifelong dream for mom and dad to go to Yosemite National Park, and it's going to happen.
You've been up there a few times.
That's so beautiful.
Oh, my God. I love it. Mm-hmm. Yosemite is like going to heaven. It's so crazy how beautiful it
is. It really is that much more beautiful than other places. You know, have you been out to Tuolumne Meadows?
This time I want to hit up the Tuolumne.
It's so incredibly beautiful. There aren't the big, the big ticket attractions there, but it in itself is one of the most beautiful places you can take a walk in the entire world. I'm convinced.
Mm.
Do your parents have the gold pass going?
What's that? The free national park deal?
That's a great question.
Whatever kind of senior hookup they can get, they got it. Yeah.
Good. Can we agree on one thing?
Yes.
Yosemite's on the A-list of national parks.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. What else are you putting on there?
I think it's like Great Smoky Mountains.
Mm-hmm. Sure. The most visited.
It's the most... Healy's sneering at us like we're some kind of plebs.
Okay, yeah.
You're going to say that the most popular national park isn't on the A-list.
No. Have you been there?
I haven't been.
Okay, that's the difference.
I'm unconvinced.
Yellowstone.
Yellowstone guys. Is clearly
Yellowstone. That's fine. They can't be just one. It's Grand a list. Canyon. Not an item. Grand Canyon.
Acadia?
I don't know. Acadia, I think Acadia is when you can't get the Grand Canyon. You ask, you call Acadia.
What about Glacier?
Ooh.
Glacier.
A debate for another day, maybe. That's interesting.
I have been through Glacier, just saw it at a distance from a train, and knocked my socks off.
Yeah, I bet it's pretty beautiful. Didn't think he was going there.
He surprised me. I didn't either. It had all the setup of like, it's not what you want it to be. I saw it from a distance. I was on a train.
Greatest thing ever.
I was sitting next to a Mennonite who was, and he was staring out the window and he kept telling me he hoped he would see a bear.
Why do you think that was? Do you think they didn't have bears? No, they do, probably.
I don't know. He was going from Ohio to a Mennonite wedding in Idaho.
Mm-hmm.
Listeners,
okay,
send us your plans for long term. Tweet at us, email us, greatdebate69 everywhere.
Also, Long June candle flavors. Don't be afraid to tweet at us.
Exactly.
And any stories about wandering Mennonites.
And your personal list of A-list actresses and national
parks. Yeah, any of those at GreatDebate69.
Okay, guys, I really enjoyed being with you for this episode, and we'll see you next week as Long June continues.
Everyone carries a room.
The Great Debates is produced by Mark Caracello. Our audio engineer is Ethan Edenberg. The theme song was composed by Christopher Knight. The debaters are Steve Healy and Dave King, and the program is moderated by Dan Medina.